This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. It may be summertime, and lots of folks are vacationing, but politics never takes a break, and things are heating up as we get closer to the midterm elections in November. Joining us, as he does once a month, to talk about the issues and candidates is political junkie Ken Rudin. And you can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. And Ken, thanks for being with us again today.
Thanks, Jay. I have a question, though. When are they going to start to impeach Harry Black?
We need to confirm him. We're going to confirm him first, right. and then we'll file the lawsuit.
Such an unnecessary
I was looking through the applicants. I didn't see your list, your name among the 19 that had applied.
I'm there. It's just under a pseudonym.
Okay. So are we starting out with a trivia question?
We are, actually, speaking of Cincinnati. Of course, coming up is actually next week, August 9th to be precise, is the 40th anniversary of the resignation of President Richard Nixon. So I have kind of a 1974 Watergate-related trivia question for Ohio. And around this time, in 40 years ago, there were two former mayors of Cincinnati who ran against each other for Congress during that special Watergate time in American politics. Who was the winner?
Okay, well, Howard's already writing, so that's a good thing. And since we're talking about Watergate, we should mention that Howard is going to be talking with John Dean on Monday live during Cincinnati Edition starting at 1 o'clock.
That's
so
correct.
One more time.
And may I also say that John Dean will be on my podcast next week. John Dean is a very lonely guy. If he's going to talk to Howard, he's going to talk to Ken, then you know he's very lonely.
Repeat your question one more time.
Okay, 40 years ago, this cycle.
40 years ago.
There's a special election in Ohio for Congress between two former Cincinnati mayors. Who was the winner? You could also tell me who was the loser, but I care about who the winner was.
And Howard, for the record, has his answer written down here. So
okay,
in a matter
nice.
Of seconds,
yes,
he had that written down.
Of course, Howard wrote Howard Metzenbaum, and that's not the right answer.
Frank
Lausche. No, he always writes Frank Lausche.
Frank Lausche,
He always prepares a Frank Lausche answer.
John Bricker's popular, too.
John Bricker, right.
If you think you know the answer to that question, 513-419-7100. Again, 513-419-7100. We'll talk about a couple of political topics, and then take a few chances and guesses on the air. So I guess the big news yesterday out of our nation's capital was the House of Representatives, along a party line vote, authorizing a resolution for the Speaker of the House to file a lawsuit against the President.
Well, yes. And of course, the fact that members of Congress have tried to sue or sued the presidents in previous times is not unprecedented. Democrats and Republicans have initiated individual lawsuits against the president. This is the first time that the House as a body has impeached a president. And of course, Republicans say it's about President Obama's abuse of executive power, and there's a case to be made for that. And Democrats are saying this is all theater designed to embolden and excite the Republican base, and there's something to be said about that as well.
So break it down. Where does this go?
Well, it doesn't really go anywhere because, I mean, ultimately it's going to have to wind up in the courts. And if it even goes that far, that's going to take years and years and years because the courts usually don't like to get involved between the legislature and the executive. But ultimately, it's certainly not going to go anywhere in the Senate. Of course, there's a possibility that the Republicans take over the Senate in November. But really, I mean, there are serious issues here and there are serious things going on here. And, you know, the Republicans, Speaker Boehner and others will point to the fact that President Obama, in their words, have picks and chooses which laws he wants to enforce. And they point out to the Affordable Care Act and the actual citing they have in the resolution to censure him. I mean, to sue him, that he has a selective application of the Affordable Care Act, which is ironic considering the fact that every Republican wants the Affordable Care Act to go away and disappear completely anyway, but they feel that the president has overstepped the powers of the presidency, overstepped his bounds as president for picking and choosing how much to enforce or not enforce these laws. Now, the Democrats say, well, you know, we can't believe you're doing this. What about immigration? What about gun laws? What about minimum wage? What about extending unemployment insurance? These are issues that the Congress, the Republican House, has not picked up at all. And they're going on their August recess coming up. There's not going to be many more days, but yet they have time to sue the president. So this is a philosophical thing, and it's a political thing too, because another way of looking at it, there are some people on the right who have been yapping at John Boehner's heels, saying that, well, suing the president is not the answer. The real answer is impeachment. And Sarah Palin, who, of course, for only $99 a month, or $99 a year, or $9.99 a month, you can pay for her TV web channel, subscribe to that, where she can talk about, you know, killing moose and impeaching the president. But aside from that, it's really every time a Republican like Sarah Palin or a Tea Party member of Congress talks about impeaching the president, then the Democrats go ballistic. I must have gotten 50 or 100 emails in the past week or so about impeaching the president, all from Democrats saying, you know, the Republicans are radical. I mean, they're really mocking the seriousness of it because they know it's a great fundraising tool. And Democrats are making millions of dollars and energizing their base
right.
on an issue that is just not going to go, clearly not going to go anywhere.
Well, John Boehner is trying to knock down this impeachment talk, you know, and he's called it a scam by the Democrats to try to as you say, gin up their base, get them excited, get them out to the polls this year. You know, and he has no intention of going forward with any kind of impeachment proceedings.
No, that's absolutely true. And matter of fact, that's very similar to what Nancy Pelosi faced in 2007. There were some on the Democratic left, like Dennis Kucinich, who said we should impeach Bush for Iraq or for Katrina or any assortment of misdeeds. And the last thing Nancy Pelosi wanted was an impeachment vote because they felt they had the Republicans on the run on all these issues. And so why have an impeachment when we're about to take over the presidency? So I think Boehner feels the same way. They feel that they're on the ascendancy in 2014 midterm elections. They feel that, you know, the Obama record is enough to run against. But when the focus is on them, the Republicans, as it was on the Republicans last fall during the shutdown of the government, it seems like the Republicans only suffer.
But, you know, looking at Obama's record on executive orders, I mean, he's nowhere near the champ of all time. I mean, there have been presidents who've had hundreds and hundreds of these things. I think he's only had like 181, I believe.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I mean, the numbers I've seen during Bush's 8 years, there were 291 executive orders. Clinton had 364. Ronald Reagan had 381. I think the record was Lou Gehrig, I think, until it was broken by Cal Ripken in 1995. But I mean, the point is, everybody points to, well, it wasn't as much of an abuse as this was. And of course, when Barack Obama was running for president in 2008, he criticized Bush over and over again on this abuse of executive power. So, you know, an abuse is always depending on who's in the White House and what party is not in the White House. But both sides have the argument saying that, you know, Boehner said it with a straight face, that the president can't keep overstepping these bounds, these powers. And Democrats say, well, wait a second, we've seen this game before. But of course, back in the Bush days, it was Democrats who was complaining about the Bush abuse of power.
Does this?
Of course, they didn't sue the president.
But there is a lot of irony in the fact that
absolutely.
They're going after Obama on the Obamacare for not moving fast enough on portions of Obamacare that none of them voted for.
Well, selective application, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but the Democrats, I mean, for the most part, if you look at these emails, and I'm sure you guys are getting them as well,
mm-hmm.
they are, the ones from the Democrats are really, I mean, they're serious, but I have a feeling that it's serious with a wink because, oh my goodness, the Republicans are about to sue the president, which means impeachment is next, and we've got to raise money. And so I hear the DCCC raised $1 million just yesterday alone on this suing/impeachment issue, and they've raised like $7 million in the past week. So
yeah, nearly all.
You know, it's become politics.
Yeah, nearly all the emails that I see coming out of the Democrats are fundraising appeals.
Right, but in fairness, I mean, everybody says, like Boehner said, the only people who are talking about impeachment are the Democrats. And sure, the Democrats are running with this, and they are. And the, but it didn't come from out of nowhere. It is coming from the Sarah Palins and the 4 or 5 or 10 Tea Party members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, who say it's time to impeach. Right. The South Dakota Republican Party passed a resolution recently calling for the impeachment of President Obama. So the Democrats are just loving this. And, you know, once upon a time, people thought that talking about impeaching the president would energize the Republican base. If nothing else, it'll energize the Democratic base for November. And the Democrats definitely need some kind of energizing. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, this resolution just allows a lawsuit to be filed. None has been filed yet, or at least
That's
not
correct.
That I'm aware of. Does this create, and this may be a question you can't answer, does this create a problem if this were to land in front of a judge that was appointed by President Obama?
Well, I mean, ultimately, the odds are very good. I mean, the longer a president is in, the longer he or she has to move and change and restructure these courts. So ultimately, a lot of lawsuits that affect the president, not suing so much, but things that affect the president, may very well come before judges that are appointed by the president, the current president. I mean, you know, we saw a lot of these actions on the health care bill. On the healthcare bill that went to the courts a few weeks ago, when there was a lawsuit trying to stop the Affordable Care Act, and it went before circuit court judges appointed by President Obama. So, I mean, there's probably an irony if there was a suing or even an impeaching thing before an Obama judge, but that's not quite unusual.
We are talking today with political junkie Ken Rudin, and we asked a trivia question earlier, and Tom from Clifton has been waiting very patiently. Ken, real quickly, one more time the question.
We're talking about the anniversary of Watergate. Well, there was a big Watergate-related House congressional district campaign in Ohio in 1974 between two former mayors of Cincinnati. I'd love to know who the two candidates were, but who was the winner?
All right. And Tom, do you think you know the answer to that question?
Sure. I had to flip a coin, actually, so I'm not really sure which one of these is the right answer, but I'm guessing...
You can only give one.
When our friend Tom Lucan got into office, and I'm guessing he ran against Willis Grattison.
And Ken?
Tom, first of all, is this Tom Lucan on the phone?
No, sadly, no.
I can testify it is not. Oh.
Tom is exactly right. That's exactly what
That's
it was.
Right.
This was the one where William Keating, who was a congressman from Cincinnati,
yes.
Resigned to become the chairman of the Cincinnati Enquirer,
yes.
Which was a Republican seat, and they had a special election in Cincinnati in March of 1974. Tom Lucan beat Bill Grattison. Of course, Grattison later served in Congress for a long time, but that is the correct answer,
next
Tom Lucan.
Over. Yeah,
yeah
right.
Next one over, right.
And Tom, hold the line, and we'll get your information and get lovely gifts for you. And if you'll hold the line, our producer will get that from you. And
he
for
the ottoman and the love seat,
and
right?
Jay, and, will you point out to Mr. Rudin?
And Howard scribbled down that answer within a matter of seconds.
Excellent.
And he had both candidates right, and he had the winner right.
Yeah. I'm old.
My faith in Howard has been revived.
Okay. All right.
Well, we are having our monthly chat with political junkie Ken Rudin, and we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. We're talking today with political junkie Ken Rudin, and you're invited to join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. Well, Ken, we talk about Congress is getting ready to take a summer break. I think the House is scheduled.
Wait, a break from what?
President Obama was asking that question yesterday. 5 weeks off now. I guess they won't return until after Labor Day. And then, realistically, elections are coming up in November. Is the legislative agenda essentially maybe what there is of it, on hold now until after the elections?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm laughing because some can make the case that the legislative agenda has been on hold for years right now. And everybody says, well, we can't get anything passed because it's an election year. But it's always an election year. And I mean, maybe there's something can get done in a lame duck session. But of course, all the things I mentioned earlier, the things that were not getting done, are probably not going to get done. And of course, you know, you make the case that, well, one party or the other is afraid to talk about, you know, trade policy or immigration because it may hurt their base. It might attract a challenge in the primaries from either the left or the right. But for the most part, most of the states, first of all, more than half the states have had their primaries already. Most of the states, certainly the filing deadlines are long gone. So if they know that they're kind of safe, I don't know why they just can't just get some things done when the American people are demanding things are done. But if the American people were really demanding it, they would take out their ire on members of Congress. And right now, it doesn't look like, it's certainly in the House, there's going to be much price to pay. Many of the Republicans and Democrats as well are in safe seats, and probably their constituents are very happy with what they're doing.
So, like, if the Democrats started running against a do-nothing House led by Republicans,
which they are doing,
which they are doing, but is that going to be a very effective argument? Because these seats, as you say, for the most part, are safe.
Well, that's the point. I mean, you could have a Democrat coming into a very safe Republican seat,
right,
and said, you know, Congressman so-and-so, you voted against blah, 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 blah. But many of the congressmen, the Republican congressmen's constituents say, well, that's the way we want it. That's why we elected him or her in 2010, 2012, because, to stand up to the Obama administration, the overreaching of the Obama administration. So, you know, the Democrats feel they have an issue. The Republicans feel they have an issue. And they're backed by the echo chambers of Fox News and MSNBC. So why need to have anything change? Back in the old days, you know, I love talking about like that, is that when districts were maybe 53-47, one
right
seat or the other,
right,
and members of Congress had to reach across party lines to win a majority to get reelected. No longer that's the case.
Well, that was the case back in 1974 when Tom Lucan beat Bill Grattison.
Well, except that was a national issue. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody was complaining about Grattison. They were complaining about Nixon and Watergate, and the Republican Party paid the price.
But it was in those days, it was a sort of a split district.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like each time that we have you on, this issue comes up again with immigration and any reform, and that's been in the spotlight again recently with what's been happening on the Texas border, but still doesn't look like any movement on any sort of reform.
It does not. I mean, the Republicans have come up with an issue with a solution that is far less and far less dollars than the Obama administration is requesting. They don't seem to be to have eye to eye on this. And you know, I wonder what the national appetite is. I mean, when you see pictures of tens of thousands of kids crossing the border illegally because of intolerant situations back home. Well, you know, I mean, one, you could have sympathy for these poor children who were sent all these thousands of miles, hundreds of miles to come here. But at the same time, you talk about a situation where, you know, it could just backfire on the party or the politicians who support kind of so-called amnesty, or at least, you know, a liberalizing ways of becoming citizens or public citizens of the United States. I mean, remember Bill Clinton in 1980 when Fidel Castro decided to open up his jails and had the Mariel boat ride, and a lot of them settled in Arkansas, and Bill Clinton paid the price, and he was defeated that year in 1980. I mean, he came back and won another term 2 years later, but sometimes when things like this happen, politicians who may be sympathetic pay the price.
We are talking with political junkie Ken Rudin, and if you have a question, 513-419-7100. Again, 513-419-7100. Lou is on the line from Dayton. Go ahead.
Yes, Ken. I wondered what's your forecast on Mitt Romney? Do you think he'll run for president again?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think he said so as well. There's just no way he's going to do it. I did see a poll the other day that if the election were held today, and of course, if the election were held today, I wouldn't be on your show. I'd be out working somewhere. But I mean, but if the election were no offense, I like your show very much. But if the election were held
today,
Mitt
Romney,
you wouldn't
be here either, sir.
Exactly. Hang up quickly. Right. If the election were held today, Mitt Romney would beat President Obama. Look, there's a lot of buyer's remorse. I remember not long, like maybe 2 years after the 1964 election, when Lyndon Johnson annihilated Barry Goldwater. In 1966, there were polls that said if the election were held today, people would vote for Goldwater over Johnson. So there's always buyer's regret, buyer's remorse. You'll always see that. But there are too many Republicans out there. And basically, all we've heard from the Republicans in the past 2 years is how Mitt Romney blew it, how he did everything wrong, how he had sent the wrong note, the wrong message, the wrong attitude. And so I don't think the Republican Party wants to go back to that, although they may be kind of gratified that the numbers that maybe voters could do it all over again if they could. But, you know, the elections are always like that. You always say, well, gee, if only we could do it all over again. Well, you can't. And the Republicans have a huge field of potential candidates who are not going to stand by and step aside for Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney doesn't want it.
Well, so why is this bubble keep coming up? I mean, is it just there is a lack of candidates for the mainstream Republicans to come around, or?
Well, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, I mean, look, even when Nixon beat McGovern in 72, there were a lot of people who, and of course, as it turned out, Nixon turned out to be a crook and was resigned, and all these crimes that were talked about. I mean, the famous bumper sticker at the time was, "Don't blame me, I voted for McGovern." So there are people who said, well, they looked right at McGovern a different way, but I think Mitt Romney has done it twice. He tried in 2008, didn't get anywhere, tried again in 2012. And if you think of all the battleground states that were up in 2012 with a bad economy, Mitt Romney won only North Carolina and lost every other state, you know, Ohio, Florida, Virginia, Colorado, Iowa. So I kind of think that the Republicans need to look forward. And why look in the past? I mean, if the Republican nominee, if the Democratic nominee is going to be Hillary Clinton, who is not she's not the kind of person, I mean, with all due respect, she's not somebody who represents the future. I mean, she's somebody from the past, even though she has a tremendous amount of support. I think the Republican Party wants to make this an election about the future, and they want to get somebody much younger and much more vibrant. And, you know, Romney had his shot, and now it's time to move on.
It's interesting. Quinnipiac University came out with a poll of Ohio voters today that talked about a lot of things, a very low approval rating for Obama. But it matched up Hillary with three potential Republican candidates for president, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, and Chris Christie. And she was running ahead of every one of them in this state, which is still a key battleground state.
That is not a surprise. I mean, for one thing, I think in many circles, Jeb Bush, Bush is still a four-letter word that people would not rather talk about. Jeb Bush may not be the ideal Republican candidate in the sense that his views on immigration and education, while maybe perhaps laudable, are not majority opinions in the Republican Party, so that eliminates Jeb Bush. Chris Christie, I mean, he is so damaged given the George Washington Bridge scandal, mm-hmm. but also the faltering and the falling economy in New Jersey, the budget deficits, the rise in property taxes. New Jersey, you talk about when Dukakis ran on the Massachusetts miracle. Well, there is no miracle in New Jersey, and it's going to be hard to make the case that Chris Christie says, I'd like to do to the country what I've done to New Jersey. And Rand Paul, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who just don't like his, for lack of a better word, this is not an act, probably the best word, but is isolationist foreign policy, especially with what's going on in Gaza and Ukraine and Syria and everywhere else. Now, of course, there are a lot of people who say, you know, what has intervention in Iraq and Afghanistan gotten us? So maybe there is an isolationist growing view in this country. But Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, and Chris Christie are not. You know, I mean, they all have you know, in other words, Hillary Clinton has clear, widespread support in the Democratic Party. I can't imagine her not being the nominee. Paul, Bush, and Christie all have problems. But again, you know, we're still a long way to go to see a unifying Republican figure. And of course, you know, what about What about John Kasich? What about Rob Portman? I mean, there are a lot of other Republicans out there who are either looking at it or thought to be looking at it. And, of course, we'll know a lot more after the 2014 midterm elections.
Well, that Quinnipiac poll of Ohio voters, Rand Paul was actually the closest to her. He was only like 4 points behind.
Yeah, but look, you know something? The day of the New Hampshire primary in 2008, polls said that Barack Obama would win it and Hillary Clinton won it. So if we can't predict polls the day of the election, talking 2 years in advance of a prospective race is just kind of foolhardy. I understand how political junkies love it, but ultimately I think we have a long way to go before these numbers mean anything. Although seriously, the impeach Harry Black effort, that's real. That is real.
Impeach him before he even gets confirmed.
Absolutely. Why not? Why wait? Who has time?
Well, there is a big political event in Kentucky this weekend called the Fancy Farm Picnic. And Howard and I were curious if you had ever been to the Fancy Farm Picnic.
I've never been. I've heard about it for years. I hear it is the place to, and not only in Kentucky, but in the country, one of the great political events to attend. It's one of those dream scenarios for political junkies that, you know, if you're there, you see
amazing. Everything.
And I've never been. I guess you guys have been there for a while.
I've never been. Howard has.
And it's been some years since I've been there. But
Howard used to go there with John Sherman Cooper.
Well, the good news, Ken, is not too late. If you get in your car and start driving now, you could probably be there by Saturday.
Yeah. Actually, it was Happy Happy Chandler I went with.
Happy Chandler, right. And his brothers, Dopey and Sneezy. Right. I was I just drove back from Alaska. We did a Political Junkie Roadshow in Fairbanks a couple of weeks ago. So I think I've driven enough for this time, you know. I could see Alaska from my kitchen window.
From what you've heard, though, would politics be a whole lot more entertaining if a lot of the events were like what happens at Fancy Farm, where people dress up and heckle the ones that they're not necessarily supporting?
Yeah, I think that's called Congress. No, I mean, I like events like that. I'm actually kind of a serious guy, and I do like the process and the debates and all that. But I do like events like that where people are not scripted. They're more human beings, and of course, there is a certain amount of scripting that goes on there. But just the thought of getting the politicians with their hair down, you know, for the most part, and having fun. And that's what I really think politics should all be about. I mean, the vituperation that you see on the cable news and the campaign debates and the campaign commercials, it just, I mean, you know, as I said, I was just in Alaska, and you couldn't help but turn on a TV and see these just bitter, angry, ugly, negative commercial after commercial after commercial. Sometimes it pays to have some fun. And that's what I present on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's what they do at Fancy Farm. I mean, you know, we're going to have Mitch McConnell get up there. He's going to have to get up on his hind legs.
He's a laugh riot.
Yeah, he is. And Allison Lundgren Grimes is doing the same thing. She's on a big bus tour of the state, which is going to land at Fancy Farm. But people watch that.
Howard, you going to be there?
I'm not going to be there for this one. No, but people watch that very closely, and they listen to these speeches, and they have an impact.
Do have an impact. Unfortunately, there are 35 other Senate seats on the ballot this year, and they don't they probably don't have the advantage of an event like this. But there's huge stakes in the Senate contest, none bigger than Kentucky, but Kentucky is one of 36 that you just got to watch to see who's going to control the Senate. Not that anybody can really control the Senate, but at least have a majority.
We have been talking with political junkie Ken Rudin about all things politics, and he'll be joining us again next month. And, of course, you'll find links to Ken's website and his podcast at WVXU.org. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ken.
Jay, I just threw on the wires, Harry Black just resigned. amazing. I think we're responsible.
Thank you for the information.
And we thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Bruce Ellis. We also had help today from Tana Weingartner. Here and Now is coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.